We're going to discuss the ecological impact of spiders this hour. This after a new study found they are maybe the world's greatest predators. They eat 440 to 880 million tons of insects and other pests every single year. That's equal to the weight of more than 85 million elephants. That's freaky and fascinating at the same time. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. We are going to talk with UW Green Bay's Spider-Man about all things spiders. He will discuss the significance of this study, the importance of spiders in our environment, and answer your spider-related questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Well, many of you know that I have had a slight phobia of spiders most of my life. Slight might be putting it a little bit mildly, but I'm getting over it, and that could be in thanks to you posting so many pictures of spiders on my Facebook page. I'm getting a little bit desensitized. So you can post all the photos you want of spiders on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page this morning, along with your questions, and perhaps our guests can help you identify the spider that you post and help you learn more about spiders. Let me welcome our guest. Very happy to have with us Michael Draney, a professor of biology and chair of the Department of Natural and Applied Sciences at the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay. Good morning.
Hi, Joy. How are you?
Good. Thanks for coming back on the show. So yeah. Let's talk a little bit about this this study that says all the spiders in the world combined eat up to 880 million metric tons of insects and other pests every single year. That's a lot of pests. What's your reaction to this study?
Well, it doesn't exactly surprise me, but I'm really happy to finally see estimates coming out that kind of back up what arachnologists suspected was the importance of spiders on the world ecosystems.
Yeah. So why is this important to know?
As you mentioned, 85 million elephants is a lot of weight of insects. Mm-hmm. But what we've basically shown is that spiders are so essentially the most important predator in terrestrial communities. Insects are by far the largest, animal component of ecosystems, and spiders are the main predators of that. So they have a big impact on the functioning of the ecosystems. The spiders are eating a lot of plant-eating insects, and so they have effects on plants. And, of course, all of these spiders, there's about 25 million tons of spiders out there at any one time, and that serves as a lot of food for other animals, including animals that we really appreciate, like birds and fish.
Talking a little bit more about the ecological impact when it comes to the insects that spiders eat, I read somewhere that if we didn't have spiders, those insects would be eating all of our crops and we wouldn't have anything to eat.
It is possible. It's really hard to document whether or not the spiders or any other predators are controlling the insects in any one time. But there's no question that they are exerting influence on those populations. And one thing that I think that spiders probably do a lot is they prevent insects from building up populations large enough to be pests in crops. So we don't really see what they're doing because they're essentially preventing pest outbreaks.
Yeah. And then the spiders themselves in that food chain become food for wildlife and birds, you say, too. So
that's right.
An important role there.
Yeah, and there's research coming out that shows that they're actually quite important in the life cycle of a lot of the songbirds, for example, that we have around here. They eat mostly insects. A lot of those songbirds eat mostly insects, but they seem to switch to spiders during a short period when they're raising their chicks because spiders have... Spiders are enriched in an amino acid called taurine that birds need to develop healthy brains. So essentially the spiders are kind of like brain food for the birds, and so the birds kind of focus on spiders for a while to feed to their baby birds.
Yeah, so what are this study that says they're eating 440 to 880 million tons of food a year?
Yeah.
What that food mainly is insects. What else do spiders eat?
Yeah, so probably about 90% of the food that spiders eat are insects, and there's just so many different kinds of insects. And so spiders are generalist predators, so they'll eat just about anything within a certain size range, not too hard or bitey, you know, and so they eat a lot of different things. It's mostly insects. Probably the second biggest thing that they eat, interestingly, is other spiders. Certainly there are a lot of spiders around, and so they do eat, you know, bigger spiders will eat smaller spiders and so on. And then rarely spiders will eat other foods. Some of them eat earthworms and slugs, and there's even spiders that eat large spiders can sometimes eat small vertebrates, such as minnows or toads or even, you know, a mouse or something.
Yeah, I think I was actually on the Wisconsin River, and I was introduced to the, I think we call it the fishing spider, and it was,
yes.
Oh, it was so hideous, but because it hangs out at the shore and it'll actually, you know, grab a minnow swimming by. It's really...
Yep, that's right. They actually will go under the water, walk under the water, and they use the water as a web, so they can sense vibrations of tadpoles, fish, insects that are swimming underneath the water. So just like a web spinning spider can feel an insect landing on its web, they can feel the insects by touching the water. Then they dive under the water and grab the prey. So when you say hideous, I mean, I certainly don't think of them as hideous, but that kind of shows that people are interested. They're fascinating, at least, whether that's kind of good or bad fascination.
Right, and
I'm
not trying to diss the spiders. The reason why it was a little creepy to me is that we were camping on the sandbar, and last summer the water was so high that it covered up a lot of their sandbar territory, so congregated in greater numbers on my sandbar.
Yes. They were marooned on your sandbar, yeah. That's right.
And when you're camping with them and everywhere you look, they're kind of on the sand. It was a little bit off-putting for me as somebody who has I'm getting over my phobia, but it's still kind of...
Knowledge is power.
Yeah, it is. That's right. So why... I think learning the, you know, how much good spiders do help with that phobia as well.
Yeah, that's right.
We are talking with Michael Draney. He is a professor of biology, chair of the Department of Natural and Applied Sciences at UW Green Bay. He is sometimes referred to as Spider-Man. And we welcome your questions about spiders, or maybe even your photos of spiders. I know that Professor Draney has access to our Facebook page, and he can look and help you identify a particular spider if you have a photo of one. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post a question on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, or you can tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Linda on Facebook writes, "I'm not a fan of spiders, but they are good at keeping other things at bay." Well, that's right, and that's what we're talking about with this new study that was just out, showing how much spiders eat. And why do you suppose that is, Michael Draney, that there are people like Linda and me that are not the hugest fans of spiders? They're just scary in some ways sometimes.
Yeah, and you know, obviously there is something that sort of seems innately off-putting about them. A lot of biologists speculate that our non-human ancestors from a long time ago were actually threatened by, you know, large spiders, and so there might be something sort of innate in our nature to sort of fear them. But there's, you know, sometimes people say it's the legs, sometimes people say it's the fact that they're hairy, and then also the idea that they move very quietly and kind of sneak up on you. But it's important to remember that they're not really interested in humans. They don't have much to do with humans. They're not interested in biting us, or, you know, they don't feed on us. They only are interested in, you know, eating insects and things like that.
Are they interested in eating ticks? That's the one insect, or the one, is that an acrophobe or whatever?
It's a mite, actually.
A mite.
Ticks are large mites, yeah.
So do they eat those?
I would have to say, unfortunately, they don't eat very many ticks. Ticks are sort of slow-moving and hard-bodied, and I don't think that spiders are a major predator of ticks. However, mosquitoes, they are definitely a major predator of mosquitoes. They love mosquitoes.
Well, that is good. I think the only creepy crawly that I'm more afraid of than spiders now is the tick. So, too bad. I heard of that the possum eats ticks, though, so go possums. 1-800-642-1234 if you have a question about spiders. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. We're going to check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll be back. I'm Joy Cardine, along with UW Green Bay's Michael Draney. This is the Ideas Network. We are talking about all things spiders this hour, starting with a new study on how much spiders eat. This new study found that they eat anywhere between 400 million and 800 million metric tons of prey every year, most of that insects. So we are talking about how hungry spiders are and identifying spiders and welcoming your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post a question or a photo of a spider on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We are talking with Michael Draney, a professor of biology and chair of the Department of Natural and Applied Sciences at UW Green Bay. And our first caller is Kim in Eau Claire. Hi, Kim.
Good morning. I hope this doesn't bother you too much, Joy, but when we were in Africa, the spiders were the size of a large hat.
What?
Yes, they were huge. And we were staying at a cabin by Lake Victoria, and the spider webs, they didn't have screens, so the spider webs were covered all over the windows. And my wife didn't like that, so she tore them down. But the natives or the locals did not like that because that was their natural screen for mosquitoes.
The spider web was the natural screen?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So do you know, Michael Draney, what this hat-sized spider in Africa might be?
I have a guess, yeah. All around the world in the tropics, there are these large orb-weaving spiders. So we have orb-weaving spiders around here, right, that makes the circular orb web. And the largest ones are called golden silk spiders. They make this yellowish silk. And these large spiders, they're the largest orb-weaving spiders in the world, and they're found all throughout the tropics. And are indeed important. They like to live where people are, so people run into those and encounter those all the time. I get a lot of questions about those.
Do they want to live by us because the mosquitoes want to live by us?
I think they just like that sort of habitat. Their natural habitat is sort of openings and disturbed areas in the tropics, and that's what we create in the tropics is openings and disturbed areas.
And this huge orb just wants to eat the mosquitoes, does not want to eat us.
That's right. In fact, a lot of times people that live in these areas will just pick these spiders up and handle them. And as far as I can tell, they're just very reluctant to bite humans, even though they're quite large enough to bite a person. They just don't seem to be interested in biting people at all.
Did you pick one up, Kim, and handle it?
No, we did not. But there were moths that were like 7 inches wide. They were just beautiful down there. The tons of butterflies, and it was an amazing photo opportunity.
I bet. And that sounds great. Thank you so much for sharing that. So, Professor Draney, how many different spider species are there in the world?
That's a great question, and we actually don't know the precise answer, but we do know how many spiders scientists have described as being new and different, and there's about over 45,000 different species of spiders on the planet right now. We think there's probably about twice that many in the whole world because there's so many undescribed species in the tropics. Up here in Wisconsin, we have over 500 different species that live in our state.
That's amazing. So are there, obviously there are very, very many species, but are they in categories like the orb is different than a tarantula, for example?
Yes, that's right. There's actually a great diversity of different spiders. You might think of spiders as a group like mammals. So you have, you know, mice all the way up to elephants and polar bears, raccoons, pandas. There's so many different kinds of mammals. There are many different kinds of spiders as well. Some of them make webs. We're really familiar with the webs, but not all of them use silk to capture prey. They all make silk, but many of them only use their silk, for example, to wrap up their eggs to keep them safe and dry. And a lot of spiders just pounce on prey just like a tiger or a lion. The difference being, of course, the spiders have venom, so they inject venom into their prey to subdue them and to start the digestion process.
And that venom will paralyze an insect and allow the spider to consume it, but not all venom is poisonous to humans?
Yeah, that's the thing. The venom has been evolved to help them catch prey primarily. And many spiders are really too small to even bite humans at all. So regardless of what their venom is, they really can't inject it into us. Of the ones that are big enough to bite us, some of them are very reluctant to bite people, as I talked about with the golden silk spider. The ones that can bite us, which is a minority of spiders, most of their venoms are not dangerous to humans. So it might hurt to get bitten by a spider, but there's only a few species. So in the United States, there's the black widow spiders and then the brown recluse. And those two are definitely medically important, but that's out of about 3,000 species of spiders that live in North America. So it's a very small minority of spiders that are really dangerous to people.
And what where's the research now on the brown recluse? I've been seeing, I guess, a debate as to whether or not the brown recluse has made it as far north as Wisconsin. It's not its typical territory, but I'm seeing that maybe it is moving into Wisconsin.
Well, it doesn't really seem to be moving at any sort of appreciable rate. The places where you can find brown recluses is still down in central Illinois. However, you can move brown recluses almost anywhere in the world. They might live in a box or in luggage or something, and then you move it to a new place. Uh-huh. And so occasionally they're found outside of their range, including in Wisconsin.
And so people who swear that they've been bitten by a brown recluse in Green Bay, Wisconsin, the probably were not bitten by a brown recluse.
That's right. It really seems that brown recluses are blamed for a lot of symptoms that people get for a variety of other causes, especially bacterial infections, which really are on the rise in a big way with the advent of antibiotic-resistant bacteria. You've probably heard of MRSA. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times someone will get a MRSA infection, go to the doctor, and the doctor will say, that looks like a brown recluse bite. And then from then on, that's what people go with. And it's really unfortunate because people are being misdiagnosed, and then they're not receiving the correct treatment. But really, brown recluse bites are not incredibly common, even where brown recluses occur. So down in Oklahoma, a study was done, and they found that in some houses, people are living with maybe 2,000 brown recluses in their house. And yet about 6 people every year in Oklahoma get bitten by brown recluses. So, you know, the chance of your being bitten by a brown recluse in Wisconsin, where it's extremely difficult to find a brown recluse, seems like a very improbable event.
You know, I wanted to ask you, Professor Drini, about a study I saw in the news this morning, and I know you haven't had a chance to really look at it either. It's brand new. Mm-hmm. That shows that the venom from, I think the headline's in, the venom from the deadly funnel spider, I think this is in Australia, has been found to help stroke victims. What's your reaction to this?
It's really cool. I'm really pleased to see, you know, spiders being used in this sort of useful way to humans. It's not really surprising in some ways, because I think sometimes people think that's so random that, you know, spider venom would be medically important. But actually venoms from any kind of animal are very special chemicals, because they're mixes of chemicals that have been evolved by natural selection over millions of years to have big impacts on the biology of other organisms. And so they always have these big physiological impacts. And so it's not really surprising that scientists look there at those chemicals to try to find chemicals that change our biology and have effects on our biology that can be used for medicine.
Michael Draney is a professor of biology, chair of the Department of Natural and Applied Sciences at UW Green Bay. He is a spider expert. Well, he's an expert on more than spiders, but he has been dubbed UW Green Bay's Spider-Man because he knows a lot about spiders. And we are talking with him about all things spider-related. And we are welcoming your questions at 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us, ideas@wpr.org. You can also post a question or a photo of a spider if you'd like help with an ID on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. You can also tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our conversation is prompted by a new study that shows the global population of spiders consume up to 800 million tons of prey every year. The equivalent of that's equal to the weight of more than 85 million elephants. So they are hungry little buggers, and they do the ecology a lot of good. Let's talk next to Margo in Madison. Hi, Margo.
Hi. I know I'm bitten by spiders occasionally. and earlier your speaker said they don't tend to want to be around people. But in the springtime, I will almost always once wake up in the morning and have a welt on my body. Nothing serious, and it goes away, but that's it. And it's just that one time, and it's usually spring. And when I ask people, what is this, they'll usually say it's probably a spider got in there.
So a spider can bite you, but they don't necessarily look for you to bite you. Professor Draney?
Well, I guess the thing that I usually ask people when they say they've been bitten by a spider is I say, did you see the spider? And oftentimes the answer, of course, is no. There's sort of an assumption that a red welt that you wake up with might be a spider bite, but it really, that's more sort of folk knowledge. And for the most part, those symptoms are not caused by spiders. There's a lot of other animals and even things that aren't animals that can cause those sorts of symptoms that are quite likely to bite people. And for some reason, people like to blame the spiders instead. So a spider is kind of like a wasp. If it bites you, it's going to hurt. And so, you know, how often do people realize that, say, oh, I've got a welt. I wonder if that was a wasp that stung me. They don't do that because they know that it really hurts when the wasp stings you. Well, it's kind of the same with the spider. Usually when people are bitten by spiders, they look down and they see a spider biting them. So I'd say that the spiders kind of have a bad rap. It's just people have decided that spiders cause these mysterious bites that they get.
Yeah, it could have been anything. It could have been any kind of insect, not necessarily a spider.
That's right.
Yeah. Because I see them from time to time, of all things in my sink or my bathtub, there are spiders that are, they're looking for a drink or what's going on there?
Oh, yeah. Well, not really. You know what the sink or the bathtub is for the spider? Is it's a trap. So they're wandering around in your house. Maybe they accidentally got in your house,
yeah.
And they're trying to find their way out. And they somehow, they might be attracted to the water, actually. They're probably thirsty in your house because, especially in the wintertime or, you know, in the cooler parts of the year, when the heater is on, our house is like a desert. And so the little spiders are losing water very quickly, and they're getting thirsty, and they might be attracted to the water. But when they get into your bathtub, a lot of the spiders can't get back out. It's such a smooth surface, and so it's kind of a little trap. And so you find them at the bottom of their trap. They're sort of like asking for help.
I will say that I do not smush spiders. I won't get that close to them. But I also have a very very kind and brave husband who will pick them out of the bathtub and take them outside. When it's cold,
great.
I'm sure they don't. You know, they might not survive out there. But one time he put some in the closet. He said, "I'll just put them in the closet."
Yeah.
So anyway, Jerry on Facebook writes, "I always catch and release spiders." So Jerry's the same way, apparently.
That's good. You know, sometimes people freak out when they hear this, but I let all the spiders stay in my house. Whoever wants to be in my house can be in there. And, you know, we don't use any pesticides. If you see a spider, you know, it has to eat many insects, 20, 40 insects to complete its life cycle. So you're going to see a lot fewer creepy crawlies in your house in total if you tolerate a few spiders. Yeah. They don't just keep building up in numbers because, well, they eat each other too. So there's going to be a pretty low limit to how many spiders there are in your house. Yeah. So that's what I do. Just let them all go.
Yeah, I usually let them in, except if I want to brush my teeth and he's looking at me.
Yeah, but I move them for my wife, too, sometimes.
We have, in fact, I was going to share, let's see, Lisa on Facebook says, I love spiders. They're fascinating creatures. My family thinks I'm crazy, except my son, who's also a fan. So
that's great.
Good for you, Lisa. Mike in Castle Rock is with us. Hi, Mike.
Good morning. In the basement, I get wolf spiders, and I catch them and put them outside, and I have a jar for that. And the other day, I was trying to get one in a jar, and it was on me, and I've always been curious. I don't know. I never see them outside, and I never see them upstairs, but some of them are really quite large, and I don't know how aggressive they are. I don't have a book on spiders either. So you might want to suggest something.
All right. So what exactly is a wolf spider, Michael?
A wolf spider is a common sort of non-web-building spider that runs around and pounces on their prey, sort of a sit-and-wait predator. They are some of the largest spiders in Wisconsin are wolf spiders. So they get up to their body size, might be up to about 2 inches in length, not counting the legs. But there's also some fairly small ones, too, that are maybe smaller than my pinky nail. And so what your caller is describing might be a wolf spider, but if he's finding them commonly in the basement, it's probably a basement spider or a house spider. There's a group of spiders called Tegenaria that are not native to Wisconsin. They've been moved here from Europe and Asia sort of on accident, and they live in our basements. And they're harmless. They won't bite you. They're just down there eating little insects and centipedes and things down in your basement. And the caller's right. They're not aggressive. They just are sitting down there eating some insects.
And what about a book? Do you have a book that might be a good resource?
Yeah. It is hard to identify spiders by looking at them, but there are increasingly good resources to help people. And the one that I really like for people in our area is a book called Spiders of the North Woods. The author has a great name. It's Larry Weber. And this has great photographs that he's taken of the common, sort of the common and conspicuous spiders that you'll find in our region. So it's a good book. Only less than $20.
All right, thank you, Mike. And we have just a minute before news. Niaja shared with me a picture of a wolf spider, and that's not what I thought it looked like. It's even uglier. No, I'm just kidding. What is the spider that I don't know. It's at least the size of a quarter, but it seems to it actually builds a web. So this is one that does build a web in a corner of a house, and it comes out and it has a funnel. So is that a funnel spider?
Yeah, that's a funnel web spider. They're not really closely related to wolf spiders, although they kind of look like them. You know, they're sort of fast running and sort of grayish, brownish. But, they are a web-building spider. They make a sheet. It's a non-sticky sheet that terminates in a funnel, and they live inside that funnel. And then insects, their little claws and hairs on their legs get stuck in the silk.
Poor insects. I got to jump in because we have news next, and then we'll talk more about spiders after the news. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking about spiders. Following the publication of a new study that shows that spiders consume 400 million to 800 million metric tons of mostly insects every year. So we are talking about the ecological impact of spiders and the benefits of spiders and helping you learn more about spiders. If you have a question, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post your question or a photo of a spider that you would like identified on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, and a lot of listeners have done just that. And we'll ask our guest, Michael Draney, a professor of biology and chair of the Department of Natural and Applied Sciences at UW Green Bay, to help us identify some of these spiders. You can see them on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, and I know that he promised to comment on them. You mentioned, Professor Draney, that it is kind of hard to identify spiders from photos, because I can imagine, you know, you can't see all the markings very clearly and
yeah,
the like. But
that's right.
There is one that, I don't know. And you don't know exactly. It's hard to figure out how big they are. There's this one that looks huge, but it might be tiny.
Yeah. I've got the links to all those if you want to talk about
this.
Yeah,
sure. Well, the first one I wanted to talk about was posted by Suzanne. And she said, this spider lived behind the desk in our living room last fall into early winter. My daughter named it Silly. I thought that was cute. And then one day it was just gone. Can you tell me, I guess, maybe why that was? And what kind it is?
Yeah, I know approximately what kind it is, but maybe not exactly. You can tell that it's a jumping spider. Jumping spiders really do jump, and they don't make webs. They sort of stalk their prey. You know, visually, they've got really large eyes. So large, in fact, that the front of their face is kind of flat, because their eyes are almost like the headlights on a car. So if you see that photo, you can see the front of the face is flat. It's also got these really robust front legs that it uses to catch its prey. So that's a jumping spider. It might be the daring jumping spider, Phidippus audax, but it's a little bit hard to tell from this photo whether it's got the green, bright metallic green jaws that the P. audax has.
That is amazing. Anyway,
this thing wanders into your house. It doesn't live in your house permanently, but it just wandered in one day, and it probably liked the window because of the light, found some insects there, but eventually one day it wandered away again, maybe to look for a mate or something.
Yeah. I think when we spoke once before, you said that spiders, for the most part, really don't want to live in our house. They want to be in their own territory.
That's right. There's a subset of spiders. There's a few spiders that really like to live in our house, and they can't survive, you know, in Wisconsin unless they're living in a house. And I talked about the basement spider before. But most of the spiders that people find in the summertime, our house is kind of a trap, and they sort of wander in, and then they can't figure out how to get back out. So, you know, releasing those, especially in the summertime, that's a good thing, and it doesn't hurt the spider or anything. Doing it a favor.
Oh, boy. There's Kara posted a photo, and I think she knew what it was. She said, orb, bright pumpkin orange, 'twas huge. It's an orange looking spider with stripes on its legs on a tire.
Kara is correct. That is an orb weaving spider, so it's in the family of orb weavers called the Araneid spiders. This particular one, I can actually recognize the species based on that pattern on its abdomen. This is called the marbled orb weaver. You can see the pattern kind of looks like marble, you know, sort of marbling. So this is the marbled orb weaver, Araneus marmoreus. It's one of the largest orb weavers in Wisconsin, and I think it's really a beautiful one. It becomes an adult and becomes really big and conspicuous in the fall, and so people really notice them around Halloween.
And how appropriate for that orange pumpkin-looking color.
Absolutely.
So what is the – let's talk a little bit about the, I guess, the life cycle of the spider. All right, so winter's over. It's yesterday was the first day of spring. What are spiders up to in Wisconsin, for example?
Well, a lot of them aren't going to start moving until later in the year when they're more certain that it's not going to freeze at night.
Yeah.
But, you know, you have to think there's over 500 species of spiders that live in Wisconsin, and every single one of them has to be able to survive our harsh winter. The way they do that, mainly, is they make antifreeze in their bodies. So their blood has these antifreeze compounds, which are very similar to the compounds we put in our radiators of our cars. So glycols, like propylene glycol, they make glycols which lower the freezing point of their blood. And so they don't freeze at 32 degrees Fahrenheit. They might freeze at 25 or 20 or even 15 degrees Fahrenheit, and then they find sheltered areas and basically just hang out underneath the snow, underneath leaves and cracks and bark, and then when the weather gets warm, they'll come back out again. So that's the way essentially all the spiders in Wisconsin survive the winter, unless they're living in their house.
Yeah, right. And so then once they're sure they're not going to freeze, they'll go wander to wherever they want to build their web or hang out to eat their insects.
That's right. And there's sort of two general patterns. Some spiders overwinter either as very large immatures or as adults. And then as soon as it becomes nice in the springtime, they mate in the spring. And then they have babies, you know, in the summer. And then they grow up partway or all the way, and then they overwinter as adults again. The other spiders will overwinter as tiny immatures, and then in the springtime, they just start growing again. And then they become adult in the fall, like that orb-weaving spider. And so then they'll mate at the end of the summer, and then their little babies either live inside of the egg sac, and they actually overwinter as little babies in the egg sac, or they hang out in the leaf litter as small spiders. And so they're sort of spring reproducing spiders and then fall reproducing spiders for the most part. There are a few spiders that actually reproduce in the winter, too, and are actually active underneath the snow. So but that's an unusual one.
Oh, my gosh. That's really interesting. So, yeah, and I think that when we spoke once before, it was in the fall time when you saw so many spiders. And in a way, I think you mentioned that that was because the spiders, the babies were growing up big enough to be seen.
Yeah. So a lot of the spiders that we notice in the fall, they've been with us, you know, all year round. But in the spring and even into the summer, they're small immatures, and so they make a web, but their web is low on the ground. And then as they get larger, they spin their web higher and higher. You have to understand they make a new web every day, these orb-weaving spiders, either every day or every night. And then at the end of the foraging period, at the end of the day, they take their web down and eat it. And so they recycle that silk. And so eventually, as they get bigger, they make their web higher and higher. And so eventually we start to see them and notice them in the fall.
Benjamin on Facebook asks, can Michael talk about the aggressive house spider, if it exists? I feel like I've had them in my house in the south. If the house was silent, you could hear them walking across a tile floor. Oh, my God. Very creepy. Woke up and found one on my pillow staring at me. What is he talking about, Michael?
I have to say I'm not quite sure what he's talking about. I spent 10 years as a graduate student in the South, in Georgia and South Carolina. And I can tell you there's not really any spiders that you can hear walking. I'm not sure what he's hearing, maybe mouse.
Yeah, it might not be a spider.
And there are some larger spiders down there, and certainly I'm sure he's ran into some larger spiders. The aggressive house spider is a spider that mostly lives in the Pacific Northwest of North America. And it's just like that basement spider. It's a relative of the basement spider that we have around here, Tegan area. As far as I know, it's named the aggressive house spider, but it's not particularly aggressive. It's kind of what you might say is a bad name that it was given.
Yeah.
100 years ago.
You know, when I'm thinking of cellar spiders or house spiders, I think of what I call the daddy long legs. So it's not quite a daddy long legs. And I know that they're not, I don't even think they can bite.
Yeah, as far as I can tell, they cannot bite. I've handled those in my bare hands many times. They don't seem to be able to. So anyway, that's a complicated issue because a lot of times people do call them daddy long legs.
And they're not. They're different.
Daddy long legs are not spiders. They are arachnids, so they have the eight legs, but they're not spiders. They don't make silk, and they don't have two body parts. They just have one body part. But then there is a spider, the one that you're thinking of, is a cellar spider.
Yeah.
And they do have very long legs, and so people call those the daddy long leg spider. That's one of those species that it's not native to Wisconsin. We have moved it here on accident, and it lives in our basement. Their native habitat is caves in the Near East, in Turkey and Iran.
Oh
they
gosh.
Live in caves, and our house is kind of like a cave in Turkey. You know, it's pretty nice temperature. It never gets really hot or cold, and that's the habitat that they prefer.
Oh my gosh. That's amazing. Thomas from Appleton says, I have a sailboat at the High Cliff Marina, the state park in near Appleton, and it's always covered with spiders and spider webs. Wants to know how he can repel the spiders, or should he just live with those?
Yeah, I get asked that all the time. I was asked that by the Department of the Navy when they received a ship from Sturgeon Bay area, and it was covered with these spiders, and they were worried about them. I had to tell them these spiders, most of the spiders that you find on a boat are that make webs are called the bridge spider. And they call them that because it's pretty much the only spider that will make its web on steel, on metal, like a bridge. And this is another species that's not from Wisconsin. It's from Europe and Asia. And it's very common here. So when you see a lot of spider webs on outside of houses around here, oftentimes it's the bridge spider. This is another harmless spider, but people are always asking me, how do you repel them? It's really difficult to repel them. They, you know, if you take their web down, they'll come back. So I just say, you know, clean their webs off with water or whatever and tolerate them. They're just part of the environment.
Diane and Mercer, we're almost out of time, Diane, but I think you have a cute story to tell.
Yeah, we have orb web spiders that are always in one corner of our house each summer. So we capture flies and put them in the nest, and then the spider comes and eats them in front of us.
So you're not afraid of them. You feed them. I love it. She feeds her spider, and we only have about 30 seconds to go. Michael, is there what would you like listeners to take away from the study about how much spiders eat, or just about spiders in general?
Yeah, I really like this new paper about how much spiders eat. And one thing I wanted to do is put a little context on this. I mean, nobody really knows how much 400 to 800 million tons of insects is. But what that is about the amount of meat that all the people in the world eat every year. Yeah. So we're eating about the same amount as the spiders are eating of meat and fish. And so that gives you an idea of just how important these spiders are to the global ecosystem.
Thank you so much for being with us. Michael Draney is a professor of biology, chair of the Department of Natural and Applied Sciences at UW Green Bay. This is the Ideas Network.